and read that. Also, and I'm kind of like Mike, I don't want to get into it deeply, but it's so good to see Lina sitting in the same place where she and her mother would have sat. So when I look over there, it's almost like seeing Anita over there. You know, among the many metaphors used throughout the Bible, Old and New Testament, I believe the one that is probably the most personal to us, talking about not only God's people, but our relationship with God, is the fact that God is our shepherd and we are his sheep. In fact, the 23rd Psalm stands as a classic to that. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leadeth me beside the still waters, and so forth. In John chapter 10, Jesus identifies himself as the good shepherd who knows and loves his sheep. But you know, if you would ask these young people if it's a compliment to be known as a sheep, they would probably say no. You know, I can't begin to imagine over here at the football field, the Calhoun High School Fighting Sheep. That just doesn't sound right. I think if we were to choose an animal to be, it would probably not be a sheep. But that's the one that God uses the most, not only to describe us, but also to describe our relationship with him. In fact, some people even see sheep as an insult. Well, he's just a sheep. He can't think for himself. He's just a follower. He can't do anything for himself. Well, I think God chose these animals for a specific reason. Nothing is without reason with God. If you know anything about sheep, they naturally flock together. Brethren, that's what God's people, the church, needs to do. They naturally need to flock together. Sheep are also very social, and we need to be that as well. In the early church, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, breaking of bread and prayer. We are very social. But sheep can also be very worrisome. And I think probably that is the main reason that God chose sheep to describe us. Because in our lives with God, I'm sure we are also very wearisome. Now, I don't know, but I think that's probably the case. Now, if your testaments are open to Luke chapter 15, we're going to use this very familiar passage of Scripture to help us in our understanding today. Luke chapter 15, Jesus began to teach and preach, and a crowd begins to gather around him. In that crowd were no doubt a lot of good, decent, hardworking, honest people. Oh, there might have been a few publicans or tax collectors, maybe a few other savory people, but Jesus attracted all kinds of people. There's a good point there. Jesus went to all kinds of people. He was kind of like a magnet in that respect. He also drew the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the religious Jewish elite. Now, they were not there to listen to his message. They were not there to hear Jesus' lessons and to listen to him preach. They were there to cause trouble. And that's what they do here in Luke 15. I'm paraphrasing, of course. They look at the multitude. They look at the crowd around Jesus. They see individuals in there who were tax collectors and maybe other unsavory people. They see in the crowd people that did not respect them as religious teachers. They had classified them as sinners, and they say, look at this crowd of people. Look at this audience. Jesus claims to be a religious teacher, and look at these unsavories that are out there. And in order to confront their opinion, their false opinion, Jesus tells a very simple story. He says, which of you, if you're a shepherd and you have a sheepfold of 100 sheep, if one of them wanders away, I know what you're going to do. You know the value of a sheep. You're going to leave that 99. You're going to go and find that one because you know the physical value of that sheep. One that is lost cannot be compared with 99 that are there. 99 that do not need repentance. Now, brethren, that 100 sheep represents the totality of Jesus' audience. They were saying, how can Jesus claim to be religious when he's with sinners and publicans? The 99 represented the Pharisees. They felt they did not need to repent. They felt they did not need to change their misunderstanding about God. They certainly felt they did not need Jesus. So they didn't need to repent or change. Jesus says, I'll tell you, there's rejoicing in heaven when one from this group realizes that they have drifted away from God's law. When they realize they need to come home, and the shepherd goes to get them. That's what the shepherd does. That's what love does. And brethren, that's what you and I are supposed to do. We're in Luke 15. I'm going to begin with verse 4. He's talking to the Pharisees. What man of you, which of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? Now, he's still talking to the Pharisees. And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. Still talking to the Pharisees, I say to you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repents more than the 99 that do not feel a need to make any kind of change in their religious understanding. What a beautiful story. What a very simple story. I don't think the Pharisees had a problem, one, understanding what Jesus was saying. And certainly we have no misunderstanding today. Jesus realized the power of a story. And if you'll notice, all of his parables, all of his stories are very simple. I heard a man say one time that a story, a parable, an illustration can build a bridge that will span the truth to man's misunderstanding. That's what Jesus is doing here. He's building a bridge for us. Let's consider his teaching. First of all, the sheep was lost. Brethren, I hope none of you have ever been lost. I hope that with all of my heart. One time I was hunting up in the hill country. I was hunting with a group of Christian men. We were up there culling does for this man. They all needed to go back. I still had a day of vacation left, and the landowner said, you can just stay and hunt an extra day. No problem. You can just stay. Now, I'm on this 660-acre ranch all by myself. Now, all week long, we had 8 men there with me. Now, I'm all by myself. Well, they hunted that morning and then they left that afternoon. I went to a spot that another one of the men had hunted. I had not hunted there. I had not hunted there, so I was not familiar with it. When it got dark, just before it did, a fog bank rolled in. And when I was ready to find my way back to my vehicle, I was lost. And then, wouldn't you know it, my main flashlight began to flicker. The battery was going off. Fortunately, I had a backup. I know what it feels like to be lost. 2 hours later, I found my vehicle and made it back to the camp. But for 2 hours, I knew what it was like to be lost. Sheep have a tendency to wander off. You know, I don't like sheep per se. So, you know, they nibble a little grass here and then they see a little more grass over here and they nibble a little bit more grass over here and then a little grass over there. Next thing you know, they're out of sight. And the longer they're gone and the further away they are, the harder it is for them to get back. Brethren, there's our first application point. As Christians, The longer we leave Jesus' side, the further we get away from Him, the harder it is for us to get back. And that's why it's so comforting to hear Jesus say, "You come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart. You shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy, my burden is light." So the sheep was lost. However, the sheep was loved. When I was up in the hill country lost, there was no one else out there at all. I might have spent the entire night leaning up against a tree hearing all of these scary sounds, but this sheep was loved, and instead of allowing that sheep that has wandered off to remain lost, the shepherd decides to go and get it. He leaves the 99 where they are, and he goes and finds that one. That's what Jesus does. That's what love does. Brethren, that's what we're supposed to do. I mentioned this in our Bible class this morning. Jesus once described his ministry in perfect words. He said, "The Son of Man has come to seek and save that which is lost." Luke 19, verse 10. That's what Jesus does. Brethren, I know this is a cliche, but Jesus loves you, and Jesus loves me. And had we been the only person alive at that time, he still would have accepted the cross for us. He mentions the number 100. He could have had 1,000 sheep, 1,000,000 sheep, 1,000,000,000 sheep. But if you and I have wandered off, Jesus wants to find us. That's what Jesus does. That's what love does. And that's what Jesus wants us to do. Now, logic says, you've got 99 that are safe. It's just one sheep. You've got 99 that are safe. That might be what logic says. In fact, wasn't it Dr. Spock on Star Trek that said the needs of many outweigh the needs of one? But Jesus doesn't base his ministry on logic. He bases it on love. Loving logic, yes, but he bases it on love. Jesus could have had 10,000,000 sheep, but if that sheep was lost, he was gonna go find it. And that sheep might represent any one of us. It's so easy to nibble a little worldliness here and then nibble a little worldliness there, and then pretty soon we've left the church. That's not why Jesus came. He came to seek us and to save us. That's what Jesus does. That's what love does. And that's what we need to do. Jesus loves us as if there was only one of us in the entire world. So the sheep was lost, but the sheep was loved, and finally, the sheep was found. Now, what did the shepherd do when he found the sheep? Did he scold the sheep? No. Did he take a rock and hit it and chase it back to the flock? No. Didn't pick up a stick and spank the sheep? No, not at all. He celebrated. He called his friends and he said, "My sheep that was lost, I have now found." And likewise, there is joy in heaven when an unrepentant person repents. There's joy in heaven when a lost person is saved. There's joy in heaven when someone in the wilderness comes to Christ, much more than all the rest who remain unrepentant. He was talking to the Pharisees about their unrepentance, but he's talking to us about coming to the shepherd. Jesus is the good shepherd. He knows his sheep. His sheep come when he calls us. But this point seems to be so important that Jesus doesn't just make it. He makes it very thoroughly. But Jesus doesn't just make it and then move on. He wants us to underline this in our heart. He wants us to take a highlighter and highlight it in our heart. He wants it written in bold letters in our heart. He told two more stories to reinforce this story with the same outcome. A woman had 10 coins. She lost one of them. She misplaced one of them in the house, and she searched that house until she found it, and she called her friends and her neighbors and said, "The coin was lost. I found it." And then one of our favorites, a young boy, approaches his dad before his father's death and demands his inheritance. And he goes and he squanders that wealth in wild and riotous living. But when he comes home, when he comes to himself and determines to come home, the father throws a great feast. He says, "My son, who was dead, it was like he was dead, he was gone, is now alive again." Brethren, let me ask you, what brings joy to heaven? I found this poem. When the Model T first hit the street, it didn't bring all heaven to its feet. And when the first computer was born, they didn't blow old Gabriel's horn. There's only one thing that we're sure about that can make the angels jump and shout. It's when a sinner makes the Lord his choice. That's when the angels all rejoice. There's rejoicing when one person comes to the Lord. And that's the opportunity that you will have today, to come to the Lord. You know, at one time I thought, well, being a sheep is not so neat. But now that I realize what Jesus is actually saying, I'm glad I'm referred to as a sheep. Remember, Jesus was the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world, that puts us in good company. Today, I want you to think seriously about giving yourself to the Lord. The Lord gave Himself for you. Won't you give yourself back? If you need to respond in order to be baptized, or if you need to respond for any other reason, won't you come as we stand and as we sing?